On 1116 SEN, the Four Diegos.
G'day amigos and welcome to the Four Diegos on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport, here on a Wednesday night. Rodrigo Rodriguez with you. Hey, and thanks to Finey on another great show. He'll be back tomorrow at, there's an AFL game tomorrow, isn't there, boys? So, he'll be back. Finey's final siren. So I was tracking back then. Yeah, back for another year. So sensational, Mark Fine, tomorrow night after the footy.
Could we do that show? Could we do? Not that I want to sort of, take from Finey. I'm saying, could we contribute?
Well,
to
we
something
do.
Like that. You know what
we
I mean?
We did
like,
the final whistle last week.
I know we do the final whistle, which is, you know, the round ball game. I'm just wondering whether we could do crossover stuff.
Yeah, well, that would almost imply that we'd need to know something about the game.
Yeah. I just I'm always interested in reaching out to a new audience.
Yeah, well, you are the marketing guru of the Diegos, Vinny Venezuela. Welcome to you. And Carlos, you're in the house as well.
Yes, I am in the house, and I have no desire at all to do what Vinny's asking. I'm happy to just
I'm curious. I'm a theory man.
I'm just happy to watch the doggies play this weekend.
Yep.
And just be an expert with the doggies, what they're doing. In and around the ball, inside, outside.
Apparently,
hit the prongs up front.
Yep.
Sometimes we need to park the bus a little bit, the doggies.
Yeah, they won't be doing that this year, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently my blue baggers are going to go through undefeated.
Yeah, anyway,
that's right. I've heard.
This is a football show.
Yes. Well, my team's not guilty. Anyway, let's talk about the football because there's a heap of stuff going on as well. And
it's your hot topic tonight, Rodrigo.
Is it?
It's
yours. Yes. What is it? Well, Warren's not here. What's Warren up to, by the way?
Oh, he knows. Who cares?
Okay.
He wasn't here on Friday.
Do we have a three strikes you're out policy?
I'll tell you what.
There's three shows in a row and
that's it. These recreational drugs, I'll tell you.
we're reviewing that three strikes policy as we speak,
Last Friday night, he emceed his own wedding.
That's right. He's fourth.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yep.
And tonight, for some reason, I think he must be on his honeymoon.
Well, he said he's going to listen in from Sin City.
So
I'm assuming that's Dubbo.
We were going to get him on the phone, but he tells me that he's such a busy man over there that he's on a harbour cruise, doesn't know what time he's going to get back. Oh, you busy, busy man over there. But anyway
we'll send him a tape of this show. Hey, we'll take your calls throughout the night, 9429 1116, if you want to talk to the Diegos. But look, we were thinking about...
Well, Rodrigo, I want to set this up a little bit because we've been doing this for 22 years. Yeah. According to you, I thought it was 21, but you're saying it's 22 years.
Well, no, technically.
Yeah. You have never, ever set up a hot topic.
And I think I'll prove why.
Yeah, on April Fool's Day, 2015, yep. Rodrigo's going to set up a hot topic.
Jeez, you know, it's the last time I contribute to a green room discussion. But anyway, look, Ange Postecoglou, of course, you know, the Australia drew with Macedonia 0-0.
Yes.
We drew with Germany 2-0.
Yes.
Of course, just a couple of days before. Ange said that these games were the games we needed to have.
Yes.
To get better.
Yes.
You know, to make us more comfortable, you know, blood more players. Yes. But we keep drawing. So the hotline tonight is the draws we had to have hotline.
Okay.
But based on that, what are the other must-haves in world football?
Yeah, that we need to have.
What are the other need-to-have must-haves in world football? So send us a text on 0433 98 1116 or give us a call.
And, of course, if you're a Perth Glory player, your list of must-haves is quite long, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, yes. definitely.
Some serious stuff happening over in Perth.
Well, just quickly, and we won't get into it now, but they've just been issued with a second show calls notice for alleged salary cap breaches, but we'll get into that a little bit later on. Let's talk about Australia versus Macedonia.
Yep.
And don't forget, what other must-haves in world football? 0433 98 1116. So, boys, what was your thought? Was are we a little bit worried that we couldn't break Macedonia down?
I'm not too worried. I think Macedonia played all right. I think we played all right. I think we created a few chances. We just weren't lucky. I just think sometimes you're unlucky in the game, and their keeper made a good save.
Oh, Vinny, you're really making this into something.
You can't always win games, Carlos.
I know, but
and
it wasn't all right.
It was all right.
It wasn't all right.
It wasn't fantastic. Well, but there were things. Yeah. There were promising things. As far as I'm concerned, we had maybe two two chances that could have gone either way, and I think we dominated the game and we never sort of backed away from it. They weren't too dangerous. They weren't causing us too much trouble. So it was okay. It was a bit of a boring game.
There's many mitigating circumstances that led to the game that it was. Of course, it was such a high, drawing tour with the world champions on their own turf with a full, capacity crowd and watching, and the boys really rose to the occasion. It would have been the high of a lot of those young guys' lives. Even, taking into account the World Cup, to test themselves against the Germans, to go at them the way they did, was certainly a high. And I suppose the game against Macedonia, there was no one in the stadium. They had, they must have imported some vuvuzelas.
I was going to say,
two or three people had the vuvuzelas. That would have put a lot of the players off.
Ange would have been happy about sort of getting them acclimatized to three idiots with who can't even play a trumpet.
I know. But look,
elephants mating, Carlos.
Yeah,
it was worse than vuvuzelas.
It was awful, especially when you get up at 5:30 in the morning to watch the game. The good thing was we kept the ball away from home against a streetwise team. They weren't a good side. Macedonia weren't a good side. They haven't been. They're 108th in the world. I think they've won one in the last five games, and their coach is under pressure. So they're a bad European team, okay? Even though they have good streetwise individual players who are playing in good leagues around the world. So they were quite compact. They decided to sit back. We had a lot of the ball but couldn't penetrate. Is that a problem we should worry about? No, because we scored goals for fun in the Asian Cup. We scored two goals against the world champions away from home on their own pitch. So I'm not worried at all about it. But the game that we had to have that Andrew's referring to is that sort of game. We're going to have, during the Asian World Cup qualifiers, we're going to have teams attempting to emulate the Macedonians to maybe when we go, they come to Australia or we go away from home, they're going to want to be compact, they're going to be parking the bus, and they're going to want to scrap and work hard like the Macedonians did to keep us out. A little bit of a concern that we still couldn't find a way through. There was twice we ended up penetrating with Burns dribbling into a good position and also Leckie having a good turn and shot at goal.
But, is that the one that keeper? Yeah, it was Leckie. Yeah, and there was also the header that sort of came onto Leckie's head a bit hard.
But really, the chances were few and far between. Yeah. But I don't think it's anything to worry about. But it's a great learning experience. As Ange said, it's what we needed to have because this side's only young and we need to progress by learning through these events.
I think those three opportunities could have gone either way. The fact that we actually got ourselves into that position, those positions, I thought was very... If I've got to, draw something, some form of encouragement from the games, I'd say that the fact that we actually did penetrate and get quite close with some really good football, Nathan Burns' movement off the ball and his ability to sell a dummy is quite impressive.
Yeah.
And he had some of those defenders mesmerised a bit. And he's also, I was loving the way he was whipping the ball across. Part of me can't help thinking that if we had someone like Tim Cahill in the prong position, it would have been more fruitful.
I don't think we needed him against the Germans, to tell you the truth. I thought we would have been one-dimensional if he was playing against the Germans. Against the Macedonians would have been a different proposition because him throwing himself around, physically contacting a few of those very pedestrian-type Macedonian defenders who weren't that, mobile, but they defended well if you didn't move the ball quick enough. And that's what we didn't do. And I think Ange alluded to that at the end, saying that... basically we lost our discipline a little bit because we got a bit frustrated. And against the Germans, we're very mobile. Against the Macedonians, probably not so much.
So, the question I was thinking about when you were talking, Vinny, is did it show that Tim Cahill's a player we need to have? Or,
same lines as your hot topic. But,
these two games were good because he wasn't there. So we were able to, hold our own, without him. But, we were just talking about the finishing touch.
We need to have him in situations like that where we can throw him on and he can change things up a bit. We didn't have that totally different type of player to change things up when we needed it to break the deadlock. Having the Mosquito fleet, the Burns, the Troisis, the Leckies, I love it. I love all that. And there's going to be other young players coming through of that ilk, because I don't think we've got another Tim Cahill, in the development pathway. But we're going to have more of the Nathan Burns and Troisi type players, which I think, if they're skillful, are going to be fantastic for us. But it doesn't change things up enough when we're not finding a way through.
I do think sometimes we try to walk the ball right into the goal, and I think that if a defence is sitting back and making it hard, having a bit of a ping from downtown occasionally just to mix it up is a good thing. I thought Aaron Moy was good too. I know he didn't get much of game time, but I thought that the possession he had was purposeful, and I'm encouraged by his presence as well in that squad. So I'm excited by a lot of things, and I think it was the draw we needed to have because, again, we saw a few more players doing this stuff. I think Elrich had a great entree and foray into Socceroo life as well, and I'd be encouraged by that as too.
Yeah, so it was a game we needed to have to blood some of those of those guys. Like, you know, Economides came on. You know, he's
a young colt.
He's a young colt.
He's a young colt running around and getting some nice touches. Really enthusiastic.
Yeah.
At the end, I got to say, I nearly cried at the end when he was interviewed by Daniel Garb. And he was just saying...
He thanked a lot of people, didn't he?
What was that, sorry?
He thanked...
Oh, he thanked everyone. Yeah, yeah. I think he thanked the Diegos at one stage.
Yeah,
so. That's
rare.
But he was kissing the badge and... Yeah. Look, I love that.
Yeah, it's
I just beautiful. Love it, and I just hope he can progress to be an established Socceroo down the track. Because he's got all the... I don't know, all the fantastic values that Tim Cale's got. And I think that's a legacy that's been left by Tim to all these young guys. And they just can't wait to get in there and play with Tim and actually then... you know, when Tim moves on, take his place.
Mm-hmm,
so, very excited about these guys.
Yeah, there's a bit of a tearjerker there, Carlos. Just off the text from Ghost or Goche, completely agree with you guys. Great decision to play against a team such as Macedonia. To compete against a team that played on the counter-attack in front of a small crowd is very similar to the circumstances that will confront us in the Asian Confederation. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Text. No spelling mistakes. Easy to read.
Yeah, beautifully. I think you got a copy edited before he sent it through. But you know, make no bones, Macedonia's still got good pedigree in Europe. They just don't happen to have a performing side at the moment. Right. But individually, some of those players are really comfortable in the ball. And they're smart players, streetwise. Mm. They've been around the block and they're playing in some good leagues. So collectively, they're not great, but individually they are.
Look, we couldn't penetrate. So there's something decent about their back line that we still need to sort of tamp with. Can I just say, at what point before the game did they let the cows on? Because that was a shocking, shocking
pitch.
That's
the other thing too. We rely so much on moving the ball quickly and because we don't have those sort of players that are going to carve, you know, defences up, except for Nathan Burns, with ball at feet. It's all quick movement of the ball. And if you're not moving it quickly, you need an extra touch every time. It gives a side who's trying to stop you or defend against you a chance to get that tackle in. And I think given those circumstances, you know, especially the first 15 minutes, I thought we moved the ball really, really well. Mm. We just weren't penetrating, unfortunately.
Interesting stuff. It's always great to watch the Socceroos anyway. I don't know. You know, friendlies mean something, I reckon, at the moment, given the development of the team and the other players that Ange is bringing in. So always good to watch the Socceroos. Hey, let's move on a little bit now, boys, because at the top of the show we talked about Football Federation Australia issuing Perth Glory Football Club, let's be formal here, with a second show cause notice relating to alleged breaches of the A-League player contract regulations or the salary cap.
Has Asada made that term sexy all of a sudden?
Isn't it an Asada term? Show cause notice.
Well, I've sent a show cause notice to Warren about not being on tonight.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, John in Port Melbourne says, hopefully Warren's B sample has come in. Well, actually, for Warren, that's his first sample because we don't give him an A for anything.
No, absolutely.
He doesn't get an A for absolutely anything.
Can you woo a woman by saying I'd like to show cause?
I thought you were going to say, can I show you my B sample? But
wow. My B game.
Yeah, anyway. But this is the second note. Yeah. The second notice is in relation to the current season, which means that they've had show cause notices for other alleged indiscretions in three previous seasons.
Yeah.
So going back to 2012, 2013. So basically the alleged breaches involve failure to disclose reportable payments and exceeding the salary cap, and the failure to disclose breaches include, we'll go through some of them, payments outside of the standard player contract.
Okay.
So that's...
Under
that's,
the table?
Yeah.
So in state league terms, brown paper bag under the table.
Cash.
Or in my time as a footballer, at Dalbin Turkoglu, my signing on fee was a gearbox for my car.
Yeah.
So
nobody could prove that.
No. Actually, should I have maybe...
They've got to come for you now, Carlos.
It's retrospective, some of this stuff, but anyway.
Yeah.
I'll get a show cause notice tomorrow, I think.
Well, the other ones are payments to a player's family member.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say I touted that one as a possibility for Kalfala for keeping him at Victory?
That's right.
I'm very disappointed that one's got to get Victory in trouble if they go that. So don't do it, Victory. Yeah. Not worth it.
Yeah. Well, these are all alleged, of course.
Yeah, of course it's alleged.
Payments of payments of player agent fees is another one.
Yep.
Payment of a third-party sponsorship, prepayment to a player, so paying them in advance.
Yep.
Payment of travel costs, accommodation allowances, and provision of motor vehicles. So obviously with a salary cap at $2.55 million for A-League clubs, clearly, you know, the A-League is basically suggesting here, allegedly, that they're looking for ways to, you know, make good on help some players with, you know, some.
This is serious stuff, though, Rodrigue. It's huge. And David Gallop has already gone through this with Melbourne Storm.
He doesn't miss either, by the way, with the NRL.
So yep. I don't think he's going to have a soft spot for Perth. It's happened this season, and Perth's, you know, up there vying within a point of the top position. So they're going to have to make a decision very, very quickly on this, where they're going to penalise Perth if that's the way they're going to go, if they're found guilty, where that's going to be points, where that's going to be kicked out of the finals.
I know.
I mean, of course, this is all speculation. It's all allegations right now, and Perth's got to, I think they've got until Wednesday to come back with some sort of response.
Well, the investigation that's being investigated formally has included interviews with players and staff, and they've also retrieved information from the club's files and forensic examination of external specialists of the records, including financial accounts.
Mm.
So they've forensically studied these accounts. They've, as you said, they've got until 5 p.m. on Wednesday, the 8th of April, to respond to these show cause notices.
Do you reckon with the accommodation one, they could maybe sign up all those players' houses to Airbnb, so suddenly, like FFA, you know, they're sort of doing accommodation, and if you're staying in Perth, you can stay at this player's house, just to sort of even it all up and get some, I don't know.
There's some interesting ones there, though, you know. You know, payment of a player agent's fees is an interesting one. You know,
but that strikes me. There's so much, you know, in the gambit that they're looking at that it sounds like whoever was dealing with the whole player list at Perth, if it's true that they've gone down this track, they probably didn't know the rules. It doesn't sound like they were trying. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot to investigate. There's a lot of things that have gone wrong. And it's not only this season, but the first show cause notice was for 2012-13, 13-14, and 14-15. So that's the last three seasons. So someone doesn't know what they're doing. Really?
What was
Dennis
that
DeMuto?
Name? What was that name of that British sort of banker, that broker that sent all that all those banks, that Nick someone?
Oh, yeah, it's him. Yeah.
It's got to be him.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, but I think that was a bit deliberate, wasn't it? That was a, I mean, that was
well,
all calculated.
I'm hoping this is all errors and explainable.
Yeah, well, anyway.
It's got to need to be. But do you protect your player? Like, how do you protect your players from this? And will it affect the player? Or do you think the players won't really worry unless...
No. What happened with the Melbourne Storm players?
Normally the players are protected. I think there might be some clauses that might affect players, but... But certainly, it's the club that cops the wrath. You know, then you know they might lose their points. They might lose points next year, depending on, you know, the severity of the breach.
I think Melbourne Storm, the big issue there with the players is they took the premierships off the players. I mean, I think they've...
Well, the players do a deal with the club. You know, it's up to the club to determine whether they're in breach of the salary cap
or not.
Mm. So it's going to be very hard to prove that, you know, these sorts of things, because agents do all the deals.
I guess I'm wondering that if let's say we're a team, right, and I find out, Carlos, that your house is better than mine, and, you know, you got to, you know, the motor in your car.
Yeah, my gearbox is better than yours.
Is a better gearbox. Yeah. Does that fracture our relationship? And given that we're in a sort of...
You know, you can drive my car anytime, mate.
Baby, you can drive my car.
Will the players care? Will there be hate and envy and jealousy? Or will they just say, well, you know what, they had to do that because we needed him anyway. Let's just keep playing the game.
I think the players will be upset with the club if they didn't account for this properly, because they've had a really good season, Perth.
Yep.
And these players, you can see how tight they are. I mean, for me, Perth's not a great side. But, geez, they keep on getting the results week in, week out. Even if their worst performances are draws at the moment. They hadn't won until the weekend since January the 2nd, but they hadn't lost.
Mm.
So this is a really resilient side to play for each other. Not overtly talented, but they do the job.
Yep.
And so they must be close-knit. And for them to now have the possibility of points deducted or even just booted out of the finals, because this sounds serious if they are found guilty, I reckon the players will be very happy with the club, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting. So watch this space on that. Again, Football Federation Australia issued Perth Glory tonight with a second show cause notice for breaches of the salary cap. So we'll be interested in that. Hey, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk more. We'll talk a bit about the A-League, some big games coming up this weekend in the A-League on the 4 Diegos on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.
Class is when they run you out of town to look like you're leading a parade. This has been a profound coaching...
On 1116 SEN, the 4 Diegos.
Yes, here on a Wednesday night for you again on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. And yes, of course, we've been talking about Australia-Macedonia, Australia-Germany, the draws we had to have. 0433981116, send us a text message or even give us a call. We've been also talking about Perth Glory breaching the, breaching the salary cap and the FFA issuing them with the show cause notice. Got some interesting text messages here. You can't tell me that any club administration with half a clue couldn't work out that covering players' costs directly that is not a breach of the salary cap. Surely, Stephen from Boronia.
That's Carlos. The point I'm making, Stephen. I'm just thinking it's either that they think that some elaborate way, and it doesn't sound all that elaborate, it just seems like it's pretty clear cut what they've allegedly done.
Is there a Jim's bookkeeping?
Well, I'm just thinking, are they using Jimmy's bookkeeping?
Not at all.
No disrespect to Jimmy. Actually, plenty of disrespect for Jimmy bookkeeping.
That's
but,
great
but it just seems like they either try to be clever and didn't think they were ever going to get caught, or alternatively, they didn't know what they were doing. They just didn't. They didn't know the rules or whatever. It's either one or the other, and that's assuming they did something wrong. By the way, we've always got to remember that they're innocent.
Yeah,
as the 34 Essendon footballers would tell you, innocent until proven guilty.
Absolutely.
If anything, it was probably the week they had the work experience kid in, the year 10 right, kid. Yeah, they just left him alone.
The sandwich year in accounting. Everything. You know, in any accounting course, you have a sandwich year. Like, you go out and work
right,
to try and save money.
That's right.
They got the guy doing a sandwich year during university. But the list we read out before is actually very smart ways of if a club wants to breach the
sending
salary
a message.
Cap. So do you think the FFA is sending the message to other clubs?
Well, Melbourne Victory has got the big problem. And also I think Sydney's got a bit of a problem with Yanko too. So these guys agitating, you won't be getting it through the back door, that's for sure.
Yep. And here's another text message from Ghost. It appears that Ben Kalfalau will be too expensive for Melbourne Victory to accommodate within the salary cap. Should the Victory consider Tommy Yor as a replacement for Ben Kalfalau?
I'd laugh at that if it wasn't for Troisi resurrecting his career by coming back to Melbourne Victory and spending a year and a bit, I think, with Melbourne Victory, and then going back to Belgium, being a good player over there and also being a terrific player for the Socceroos. I think Tommy Orr's probably had a relatively good season there at Utrecht in Holland, though, and I believe he's been frozen out because he's announced he wants to leave. But before that, he was probably the team's best player. So he probably feels that it might be a retrograde step for him to come back to the A-League. But you'd think if he's announcing during the season that he's going to move on, that there'd be other clubs ready to go. He'd be ready to go to other clubs. I can't see why he would announce beforehand to the club that I'm moving on if you don't have another club to go to. So, but that's certainly these days is a good option because Troisi's actually shown that you can actually resurrect your career and become a really good Socceroo and earn yourself another contract overseas if you do well in the A-League.
So just quickly, we've been saying Macedonia, but isn't it the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia?
Yes, it is.
So sorry about that. Yes. We just went for the short form.
But, I know. But that's
we know it means...
Simon Hill actually announced before the game the other morning that... Just for the fact it's a mouthful when you're calling a game. They're calling it Macedonia, but we don't want to get into the politics of it. If that's what people want to call us.
But thanks for pointing that out.
No worries.
Anyway, Vinny Venezuela.
Yes, can I just add? We've been talking all of, as a Victory fan and as someone who wants to keep Kalfalau. I know last week we spoke about creative ways of keeping Kalfalau and looking at this list of things. And as I mentioned before, that whole payments to a player's family member, I think that's a legit thing that should be allowed. So I guess another one that I would allow would be payments for an audience with the Dalai Lama because I need to persuade Kalfalau that he doesn't need the money.
Yep.
So I guess if you're a Victory fan or you're just interested in just being a bit creative, what are some creative things that should be allowed? So payments for which you think are reasonable and maybe a bit slippery, but, you know, a bit of a loophole. So if you can be bothered thinking of a good loophole to get Kalfalau or any player you like to stay at a club, Let us know via the SMS.
Yeah. And we'll pass it on to Tony Sage there at Perth.
Yeah, 0433 98 1116. Where would you classify an audience with the Dalai Lama? Is that like what? Personal development.
Yeah, I think it's personal development.
Personal development.
Yeah. I think it's player welfare.
Well, that
player
could be
well-being.
That can be hidden in the overhead.
I think there's room for Tony Soprano's psychologist to maybe do some work for one of the clubs too.
Yes,
because it's all about player welfare and really the PFA should be batting up for the clubs there because it's all about getting the players' mind right. The work-life balance. That sort of thing. So
food for example.
Well, yeah.
Can you provide
food?
But
how much food can you get?
Well, I don't know.
$1.2 million worth.
Because we talked about sort of shipping food over to the families of Kalfala.
Right. So feeding the family.
Feeding the family.
Or feeding a small nation.
Well, in Tunisia too.
Yeah. Or that could work. Finding a parallel, I'm not going to pour the money into you or your family, but I'm going to develop a player overseas for you. I don't know. There's got to be ways. FIFA does it.
Setting up the, what is it? The Ben Kalfala Foundation.
That's a great idea, Rodrigo. Now you're thinking laterally. Now we're going to keep him.
All right. Oh, I thought you were going to say now we're going to keep you. 0433 98.
No, we can't get rid of you, buddy.
You can. 0433 98 1116. That's 0433 98 1116. You guys are clever. Give us a text message. Hey, boys. We've been talking. There's a bit of talk around expanding the A-League into Asia. And has it been a bit of a...
It's been shut down, though.
It's been shut down by David Gallop, of course. But the people that started this and have spent money on looking at whether it's a good idea or not, or whether it's something that is cost effective, and whether they can get more money from broadcast rights, and is thinking about bringing in countries from other parts of Asia to join the A-League. Is it? Should it have been shut down by David Gallop the way it was?
Well, the little we know, because we're only getting the information from newspapers and what's been written up, and someone like Michael Cockrell's been writing a fair bit since last week about this, and he's got a firm opinion about it being a bad idea. So you don't know how much information you're getting and whether it's the full information. But on the surface of it, I don't understand why we would, because we're not talking about a team from Japan coming in or a team from Korea. We're talking about teams from Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, Singapore. These sort of places. Firstly, they've got bona fide leagues. I've been over to Malaysia and I've watched some of their M-League games and they're decent games. It's a proper professional league over there. Thailand, we know there's a number of Australian players who have gone over to Thailand and played. Indonesia, they're well-paid and well-funded leagues. So I'm not sure why, firstly, those federations would allow any of their clubs to join the A-League, number one. Number two, I just don't know whether commercially it would, except for the TV rights, I don't think we'd fill a stadium if a team from Hong Kong suddenly started playing in an A-League. Unless the team from Hong Kong was able to attract, a big European name, I don't know what would be the attraction of going to watch and filling a stadium with one of those teams. So, look, I don't have the commercial stuff in front of me, and it's interesting that John Smith, the consultant that was asked to do a feasibility study on this, the UK consultant on behalf of some of the A-League clubs, he's come out and said that it is viable, and the AFC and FIFA have actually supported it, which is against what David Gallop was saying, but that's only happened earlier tonight that he said that. So I don't know what the story is, but on the surface of it, on the weekend we had most games drew 6,000 people.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the victory game, which had 18,500.
Absolutely, and Melbourne City, I think, drew 9, which was a pretty good result for them, but all the other games drew 6,000. Mm. We've got problems still in the A-League.
Yeah, I agree.
Why would we want to toy with bringing in teams from Asia? So, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me that they'd be talking this way right now.
Yeah, it was shut down pretty quickly. Getting some interesting text messages on the ways to, pay for Ben Kalfala. So I'm a Carlton and Victory man, so maybe Fahid can be the new Vizzy recycling ambassador. That's Daniel in Gladstone Park. Actually, Vizzy gets a mention quite a bit. Needs a job at Vizzy.
Yeah.
Basically, Paul from Sunbury says, get a wage to be an ambassador for a related company, a la Chris Judd and Vizzy. He became a waste manager.
Yep.
That's what Tony Soprano was.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's in the waste.
There's a bit of doggy bag stuff here. A doggy bag after training and
Yeah. So payments for a translator should cover most foreign stars, including Benny Boy. That's Champ. That's interesting. Yep. A doggy bag after training Vinny Venezuela. Yep. That might not work. But, fellas, why can't they allocate him payments, then classify them as membership, advertising and merchandise sales? Because that would probably be corruption.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So keep sending them through. We'll get into them as they come in. Hey, boys, what about A-League? Let's talk about the A-League, because it's really at an interesting period, of course. There's some big games coming up this weekend. But let's just quickly talk about some of the games that happened over the weekend. Melbourne Victory defeated Central Coast Mariners 2-1. We talked about that on Friday night.
Yeah, we had a final whistle on Friday night. Yeah. And I think we all agreed. We spoke for 2 hours about the fact that Finkler was a difference between both sides, basically.
Yeah.
Melbourne Victory certainly weren't playing champagne football. Kevin Muscat admitted to that. Finkler was unbelievable. He took some punishment early, but he really shone by getting the two goals when the team needed him. And that's the class this team needs in this latter stage of the competition, given that it's so tied up there. But Central Coast were pretty good. Osaka Cernak was very good for them. Yeah. But I think in the end, Finkler was the difference, and they deserved the 3 points.
Yeah, Victory now had a stay for the 90 minutes and make, you know, you never safe against Victory. They can... they're not unlike Perth Glory either. Perth Glory, more often than not, can also play a game out and turn it around at the very last minute too. So I think that, as you said, for Muscat and the boys, it was a win.
Mm. Absolutely. Melbourne City defeated Brisbane Roar 1-0 at Amy Park in front of, as you said, Carlos, 9,500 people.
Which wasn't bad. I think it reflected the importance of that game. Brisbane Roar decimated with injuries and players away and stuff like that. And it was a pretty gutsy effort by them. I thought the City should have put them away. They scored fairly early. Great header down by Josh Kennedy and finished by Germano.
Yeah.
And by the way, whenever he plays, they hardly lose, Germano. With Germano. So they've got to keep him fit, that guy. But the rest of it, they really struggled. I thought, I wouldn't say struggled, they really should have done, maybe scored a couple of more goals, but they didn't. 1-0 was enough. Keeps them under the radar. No one's talking about the fact that they've won three games in a row now.
They're 8 points clear of Brisbane Roar in the sixth now. Yeah. So, they'd have to, I won't say they have to fall over, but they will...
these are the last four games. Yeah. Wellington, Adelaide, Perth, and West Sydney Wanderers this weekend. So, I mean, it's a very, very difficult run home. But if you want to play finals football, grow up.
You're going to have to play those teams in the finals
anyway. So. Grow up and earn it. Because really, it's been a generally disappointing year for Melbourne City after what they promised early on. If they can get through this next four games, I think they would have earned the finals, and that's what you want, don't you? If you're going to make the finals, you want to be hard and going into it.
Absolutely. Perth Glory defeated Western Sydney Wanderers 3-2, their first win since January, and a beautiful strike by Josh Risden right towards the end there was the difference in this game. And Perth had to win this. I thought they were going to either draw or lose this game. So they had to win this because that keeps their chances alive of winning the premiership. It's unlikely, but because they may have some other issues they need to deal with.
Yeah.
Sydney FC went to Wellington and won 3-0. It was a depleted Wellington side. Sydney had a few stars out, but 3-0 is an emphatic win by Sydney FC, who really, with Victory, have to be, you know, up there, and Wellington, of course, because they're on top. But, they are the form team of the competition at the moment.
Well, I mean, they lost against Melbourne City 2 weeks ago, but they haven't lost one game since the Asian Cup, I think they've lost. So they are a very, very good side, Sydney, and well coached by Graham Arnold. So there's a good feel about them at the moment. I think they are a team that, if they string a few more wins, they'll get some real confidence going into the finals, and they could be the real danger. I think it's between them and Victory for me.
I thought the scoreline flattered Sydney more than it, a lot as well. Watching that game, as they deserve the win, no doubt about that. But they didn't sort of blow me away either. By the same token,
no.
But they scored three goals.
You know, they blew Wellington away, Vinny Venezuela. At the end of the day,
it was windy there too.
Of course,
it was a bit windy.
Yes.
Yeah. No, Wellington would be a little bit spewing about that one, but. Nathan Burns means a lot to them. He wasn't there.
Yeah, well, let's hope they keep you in. But before we get into that, Newcastle Jets were defeated by Adelaide United 1-0 at home. So this is a game that,
Newcastle played quite... I mean, they've been pretty
flattering
plucky
for them.
Yeah, they've been pretty plucky and had their chances too. But Adelaide, they guts this one out. So they needed the 3 points. And I think that's what we're finding... teams are not worrying so much about playing the pretty football. They just need the points, and they're happy to walk away with that. They're unashamed talking about the fact that they didn't play well, but they got the 3 points. I don't think anyone who follows those teams would disagree. So,
and a couple of big games this weekend, boys. Of course, Melbourne Victory go to Wellington. This is a top-of-the-table clash. It's a big game. Victory, yeah. Game in hand. They win this. They go straight to the top, and you know, and then it's theirs to lose. So how do you think they'll go in this one?
Oh, Victory, I think, will win away from home. They're hardened. Mark Milligan should be back.
He's popped a bit of an injury, but...
But he's been playing injured all year, to tell you the truth. He'll be back, and I think got the Oli Roo boys back. So, Victory will be... You know, well set up. They've just got to make sure they've learned something from that other game. Mm. Me and you went to the business lunch there a few weeks ago.
That's right, because you were there. You saw it better than I did.
Absolutely. You were at a community event.
Oh, that's right. I went to the,
That's right.
Yeah. But, show back from Victoria Police.
I mean, the way they defended that day against Wellington Phoenix, surely they've learned something from that. Because if they had defended well there, they would have won that game.
Yeah, but the bottom line is Wellington will come out to play, and they're both teams that play positive attacking football, so I think it's guaranteed to be a terrific game for the neutral to watch, if anything.
Yeah. A couple of really good games. Sydney FC take on Adelaide United, which will be a fantastic game, and Melbourne City go to Western Sydney Wanderers and play against them.
Well, they owe Western Sydney Wanderers too. Remember, they were about to get lynched by the hundreds of phone calls we got here on that Wednesday night when they played and they lost, mm-hmm. You know, when they should have won that game. I think they should have learned something from that, even though Western Sydney Wanderers and Kieran Bullitt's That's actually right. scoring he's got a good goal-to-game ratio at the moment. So he's a danger man there, but Tommy Urich should be back. So a full-strength West Sydney Wanderers. And by the way, I think they've got a full six-day rest.
Yeah, that's right. They're well-rested.
Yeah, I don't think they know what rest means, but they'll have a full squad. City will, again, they'll have to earn it. And I make no bones about that. They have to earn getting to the finals, and they have to get these points against these tough sides.
Very much looking forward to this weekend's action in the A-League. Let's take a break now. When we come back, we'll talk to Mike McGrath from the UK. This is the Four Diegos on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.
If your club has a coach who is a liar, a cheat, and a no-good, low-down, dirty rat, it looks to me like you got yourself a winning coach. This has been a profound coaching moment by the Four Diegos. You can't find the words to say all the things that come to you. Moment by the Four Diegos. You are on your own, you do as you please. Having so much fun, got a lost reason after all is said and done.
On 1116 SEN, the Four Diegos.
Yes, and coming around the home stretch, don't forget after the Diegos, it's Darren Parkin with All Night Appetite right through until 6. Just quickly, there's really one good idea to get Ben Kelfalar here, is get him to write a 10-page book on anything, print 500 copies, and sell them for a grand each. There you go.
Okay, that's a genius idea.
Give them a percentage of the team supplements allowance and acting coach allowance. Thanks, Daniel from Eltham. Interesting stuff there. Hey, look, it's time to go to Mike McGrath, Vinny.
I was just going to say that if you show Ben Kelfalar a copy of a book with his face on it and you say, "My Life in Blue," we're going to publish this for you. If you just take a drop in salary, he'll probably think, "Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that."
Yeah, well,
great idea.
Well, it can't involve the club, though, Vinny, because so somebody else has got to tell him.
A fan.
Maybe his agent.
Maybe.
All right, let's go to the UK and catch up with our man on the ground. He's actually on a bus, Mike McGrath. G'day, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. I'm actually en route to the UK, actually. I'm still I'm on the bus back to Turin Airport. Obviously, it was Italy, England last night. So just heading back now.
Mike, did you buy a nice Italian grappa to take with you?
I did, actually.
See?
I have a lovely grappa after some pasta and a Peroni or two.
Oh, very nice. Sounds fantastic.
You know, you'll never get that through customs.
Well, if the plane runs out of fuel, they'll just use that. Hey, Mike. Let's talk about the friendly against Italy. It was 1-1. What's the feeling at the result, you know, against the old enemy?
Yeah, really good result. But, you know, the performance wasn't great, which is probably the worrying thing. It was a really poor first half, especially from England. Roy Hodgson tried a diamond system, Theo Walcott up front, and neither the diamond or Walcott up front really worked for him. Looked so much better in the second half with Michael Carrick on instead of Phil Jones as defensive midfielder, and got a cracking goal from Andros Townsend to get a result as well. So yeah, the result was good, but obviously I think that's probably the last we're going to see of that system.
Mike, do you think that with England, they may as well not play the World Cup and just play the friendlies because you have much more success?
I mean, we're cruising obviously to Euro Championships as well. So these are the big ones for us. It's been, and I think the FA are lining up ones like this for once we qualify, which is a foregone conclusion now for the Euros. And then I suppose we could see. We could just do that a little bit better than we did against Italy in the last two tournaments, where it's quite disappointing.
Mike, it's Carlos. How good are Italy at the moment? I know they're second in their Euro group, but they went out in the group stage during the last World Cup. There's some question marks, even in Italy, about the quality of this squad. I mean, they're big names historically, both teams, England and Italy, but how good is Italy right now?
Yeah, it's real transition for them. I mean, it's been a tough week for Conte. And, you know, we all remember watching Conte play. And he got death threats over the weekend after the Bulgaria draw. And then he's basically saying that they've got a team in transition. The big names have gone. Obviously, no more Pirlo. But, you know, there's hope there. They've got players like Verratti are coming through. But he's really cautious about bigging them up at the moment.
Hey, Mike, did a short man with a moustache and a hat tell you just to pipe it down a little bit?
I think you're calling the golf, are you, Mike?
The snooker.
Mike, I was looking through the England squad and I was actually... I mean, forgive me, I mustn't watch Southampton that much, but Nathaniel Clyne was one of the fullbacks. I'd never heard of him in my whole life. Obviously playing for England and a very young squad. He must be a very, very good player. Tell us a little bit about Nathaniel Clyne and why haven't we heard... Well, again, I don't watch Southampton all that much, but is he a big name over there?
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's had a really good couple of seasons with Southampton. His breakthrough really was last season when it looked like he was going to get some England recognition, which he then did this season. And I think you'll be hearing a lot more from him too, because it looks like Manchester United are really very interested in taking him to Old Trafford. And there are others as well, like Chelsea, who've been looking at him. But it looks like Man U are going to get him. So yeah, he's a name that you'll hear a lot more of in the future.
Manchester United basically, you know, raped and pillaged Southampton with picking up Luke Shaw and not played him. So would there be a little bit of reluctance by Clyne to join Man United, given the treatment of who was a young star when they picked him up, Luke Shaw?
Yeah, I think Shaw had a lot of problems with fitness and a general fitness and injuries as well. So you'd like to think that it was a bit of a different case with Clyne, who doesn't seem to have those problems. I don't think he's got worries like that, basically because United are very short in that department. They've been playing Antonio Valencia there, and the faith in Rafael has really gone. So there's a genuine spot up for grabs, whereas I think Shaw does have a little bit more competition for place with Rocca, who can play left-back. Danny Blink can play left-back as well. So I think if Clyne goes to United, which it's likely, it's not a done deal, but it looks like it's heading that way, I think he'll go and play 30-plus Premier League games next season.
Mike, Vinny here. I read that Theo Walcott could be a target for Chelsea, and I also read that it's quite possible that Peter Cech could be a target for Arsenal if the planets align in a particular way. Is there any legs to that rumour?
Well, there are definitely legs with the Walcott story, basically because he's only got a season left on his contract after this one. So, you know, 14 months' time, he's out of contract. Arsenal, he's not getting in every Arsenal team at the moment. They're doing okay without him. And obviously, people like Chelsea, I think all the big clubs will have a look at him. I don't think there's been contact yet, but I think that they will start circling if Theo doesn't sign on at Arsenal. And Cech, he said publicly quite recently that he can't have another season like he had this season. Pretty much understudy to Courtois, apart from their glorious win at Wembley when they picked up some silverware. And Cech, that was a real surprise, really, that he was in the team. But it's not really in Cech's DNA to be understudy. I think whenever he's come in, he's played really well for Mourinho, and I think he's a top four keeper. I think he'd fit Arsenal perfectly.
Mike, the big news at the moment is that FIFA are now deregulating, as I understand, player agents, in that you don't need to be a licensed agent now to act on behalf of a player. They're calling them intermediaries now. Of course, all the player agents have, I think there's 400 of them or so in England at the moment who've made a really good living out of the game, having to get qualified and get the license and so forth, even though there's a lot of dodgy stuff going on. They're really, at the moment, freaking out over the fact that suddenly anyone can represent a player. How do you think it's going to affect the game in England and even around the world? Because I think FIFA's basically letting go of all regulations on FIFA on agents.
Yeah, it is a big story. It's obviously been rumbling on that there are other limits as well which are being forced upon the agents over here. So obviously, it's coming down to FA rules now. FIFA washing their hands of it. One of which is the commission going down for agents. I know that might not, people might not be shedding a tear about the middlemen not getting paid as much as they used to be. But my personal opinion is, I know some very good agents, and you hear about some bad ones as well. But I think that if you get a situation where you have a good young player and it's his mate or his dad or his brother who says, I'm the agent, they probably do have his best interests at heart, but whether they can actually complete a deal is another thing. So I think that in time that these people that represent players will probably have to go towards established agents to help completing deals, help completing contracts, either that or sports lawyers. So I don't think all is lost. I don't think careers are going to end overnight for football agents. I think that the reputable ones are still going to be sought after for their expertise.
It's an interesting topic, and one I think we'll talk about a bit more at another time. But Mike, thanks for your time. Enjoy the flight back home, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Yeah, speak soon, guys.
There you go. There's our travelling reporter, Mike McGrath. That's it for this week's show. Thanks for your text messages tonight, and we'll be back next Wednesday. Don't forget All Night Appetite with Darren Parkin up after 12. So remember, Carlos,
wherever Puerto Rican girls hang out,
we'll be there. Wherever you samba, rumba, and la bamba,
we'll be there. Wherever there's girls with frill in their head and balls at their feet,
we'll be there.
Wherever gringos play football,
we'll be there.
We are the 4 Diegos.
Olé!